Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has reflected his countrymen's opinion when he warned Iran may walk away from the nuclear deal, adding, quote, Iranians say the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal is part of a good cop, bad cop game being played with Iran by the United States and the European Union, with Trump playing the bad cop, end quote. Europe has said it will stand by the nuclear deal but has not ensured that Iran will receive the benefits it was promised. Is Europe still, despite its insistence of the opposite, subordinate to U.S. wishes? Join me, Waqar Rizvi, as we discuss the latest status of the Iran nuclear deal.
Dissatisfied with the benefits that the 2015 nuclear deal was supposed to bring about, Iran has warned that it may pull out of the accord in the coming weeks, saying its patience is running out. Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says the deal is in intensive care due to the imbalance caused by the U.S. withdrawal. He says for the deal to survive, the remaining signatories to the agreement must ensure that European companies remain in Iran and that Iran continues to sell its oil and receive the revenues through banking channels.
Since Donald Trump warned to withdraw from the JCPOA last January, the Europeans have been showing kind of behavior that showed that they were not really serious about, making some sacrifices to keep the deal alive, as they believed that Iran would go along the same path and would continue, compliance with the deal under any kind of conditions.
Earlier this month, the Iranian president laid out certain conditions for the survival of the nuclear deal during a phone conversation with his French counterpart. Hassan Rouhani said it was impossible for Tehran to stay in the nuclear deal if it couldn't benefit from it after the U.S. withdrawal. He called on Europe to combine its statements in support of the agreement with actions and tangible measures. Rouhani's statements came after the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution ordered officials to speed up preparations for the deployment of machines for advanced nuclear enrichment within the framework of the 2015 nuclear deal. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said Iran would not tolerate sanctions while restricting its nuclear program. In July 2015, Iran signed an agreement with the P5+1 countries to scale back its nuclear activities in return for sanctions relief. Today, I want to. With Donald Trump taking office in January 2017 as the U.S. president, Washington adopted a tough stance on the nuclear deal. After repeated threats to scrap the accord, Trump finally announced back in May that his country would pull out of the accord. Since then, European signatories have been scrambling to ensure enough economic benefits to persuade disgruntled Iran to stay in the deal. Washington, however, seeks a new agreement on its own terms. Iran insists that the U.S. violated international law by pulling out of the deal and that Tehran will not negotiate with a country that fails to keep its words. Since the U.S. pullout, several major foreign companies, including the French carmaker PSA and oil giant Total, have announced that they would discontinue doing business in Iran for fear of U.S. punitive measures. Many other companies have said their presence in Iran is conditional upon obtaining exemption from Washington, which seems ever more unlikely. The International Atomic Energy Agency has repeatedly confirmed Iran's compliance with the nuclear deal. The IAEA, along with the international community, blames Washington for trying to unravel the accord.
Our guests for tonight's discussion are Professor at the University of Tehran, Professor Fouad Izzati, who is joining us live right here in our studios in Tehran. And we're also joined by the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, Mr. William Morris, who is joining us live from London. Thank you both for joining us. Mr. Morris, I'll start with you. How do you feel about Iran's warning that it is running out of patience and there is a possibility that it may leave the deal in the coming weeks?
Well, it's very understandable, but it's also distressing. I would hope that we hold on to this deal. What America has done has undermined everything, but it's not a good cop, bad cop situation in which Europe is cooperating with this or wishes to cooperate with the American action or endorses the American action in any way. And certainly it is the entire international community that has a feeling for Iran at this time, that feels Iran is in the honorable position. Iran has the sympathy of the entire world, and it would be, I think, a mistake to lose that by unilateral action in response to America's unilateral action. America's action was wrong. Two wrongs do not make a right. It's better to Iran holds its position, which is a strong position. And I appreciate Europe is trying to do better to stand up and help Iran in this time. It's perhaps not doing as well as it should. Iran needs more help from Europe, and Europe has to man up and do what it should do. But that said, the way is not to move away from the JCPOA. That would be a mistake, in my view.
Professor Izzati, what do you make of that? Because, you know, Iran, as Dr. Araghchi said, is running out of patience. It does expect that the Europeans need to do a lot more to ensure that the Islamic Republic gets the benefits it has been promised.
Right. His basic argument, Dr. Araghchi's basic argument, is that you cannot eat your cake and have it at the same time. You cannot have sanctions and limitations on Iran's nuclear program at the same time. The reason Iran has limitations on its nuclear program is to lift the sanctions. And when it comes to Europe, we are in Iran more interested in actions in comparison to intentions. We don't know what the intentions are in Europe. We can assume that the intentions are good, but actions speak louder. There are a number of things that European countries can do in terms of addressing the unjustified exit of the United States from the nuclear agreement. And Iran has not seen that. Iran has seen nice statements occasionally, and Iran has seen wrong statements. We had Angela Merkel talking today about her worries about Iran's regional activities. So the problem that we have in Iran is that this cannot continue forever. The other side needs to decide what they want to do. If they value the nuclear agreement, then they need to actually engage in actions that address U.S.'s behavior. And if they don't, Iran would be fine. Iran can go back to its nuclear program. And Iran has been living with sanctions for many years, and the Iranian people will manage to continue living without any help. Iran does not need help. There was an agreement. The people signed up to the agreement. The U.S. got out. Europe needs to decide what Europe wants to do.
All right, so Mr. Morris, you know, one of the interesting examples one can think of about the EU counteracting in another case would be when Trump enacted tariffs on the EU, on metals from the EU and possibly other products as well. The EU essentially very quickly reacted, Mr. Morris, to that and enacted countermeasures, placed tariffs on American products. I'm bringing that example up because it shows that Europe can, as a bloc, act very quickly to, quote-unquote, protect itself. So now, if Europe was so interested as a party to the JCPOA to ensure its role in that is preserved, why didn't it act quicker? Why hasn't it, in fact, acted quicker to preserve the nuclear deal?
Yes, I mean, countermeasures of this kind are counterproductive. They will be counterproductive with regard to Trump's tariff on steel. Trump will now ratchet up countermeasures against the European countermeasures. It achieves nothing. It's a pathetic action on the behalf of Europe, and it really gets us nowhere. What we need is to get around Trump's action with something constructive, and to introduce more hostile actions against America, everybody behaving like little children, is not the answer. The answer is for Europe to be sophisticated and intelligent and stand up against America. There are measures it can take that are constructive, and I would hope that it does so. I'd certainly starting with providing banking support to Iran. Iran would like its international its own international banks to have balanced loans from the West and from the East. The European Union can stand up and help there. There are many measures that Europe can take constructively to help that it's not doing, and it's not doing fast enough. Britain, France, and Germany are not doing enough to help, but the way forward is not for everybody to start taking actions that are negative. We need to build on the positive. Iran is in a position of great strength and great dignity, and it doesn't need to lose that position of strength, in my view.
All right, so Professor Izzadi, to be fair to the Europeans, they did take the measure of, as you well know, Professor, of enacting that statute which Europe said would protect its companies doing business with Iran. This was a while back, a number of weeks ago, I believe. But even since then, Professor, as you well know as well, a lot of European companies have still said, we're still going to be leaving Iran. We still cannot stay here because we haven't gotten guarantees from the United States that we can do business with Iran. That makes for a very confusing scenario, doesn't it, Professor?
It does. And Iran does not expect private European companies, when they are faced with serious sanctions from the United States, the companies that are engaging in more business with the U.S. than they're engaging with Iran, to be able to stay. At the end of the day, these private companies need to make money. They're in business of making money, not losing money. But what Iran does expect is that European governments engage in activities that would help other companies that are interested in staying in Iran to be able to stay. For example, we have ideas about creating a European SWIFT. This SWIFT messaging system, the banking system, is under U.S. pressure to stop its engagement with Iran. The idea is for European countries to create an alternative setup of banking messages between Iran and European banks, and it's called European SWIFT. OFAC, since Trump became president, has stopped issuing licenses for companies to engage with Iran. This is the office inside the U.S. Department of Treasury that is supposed to issue licenses for economic interactions with Iran. There's an idea of creating a European OFAC, so European companies can go to this entity for the permissions that they need, since they are not getting those type of permission from United States because U.S. got out of the nuclear agreement. The basic argument that Iran has is that Europe should not come under pressure from the United States and sort of accept U.S. pressures to stop buying oil from Iran. So the level of oil sale should not reduce. And more important than that is that when they buy Iranian oil, they should be able to give that money back to Iran, and Iran generally uses those euros to buy European goods. So it's actually in Europe's economic advantage to be able to pay the money, so European companies can sell their products to Iran. So there are a number of ideas: creating a bank in Germany or Italy or other places that engages in Iran, then they don't have to use dollars, they don't have to come under U.S. pressure. There are lists of ideas that people are talking about. The problem that I think Dr. Araghchi has is that he is not seeing concrete steps in terms of achieving these ideas or implementing these ideas. There is a time limit on how much Iran can wait, because Iran's nuclear program, peaceful nuclear program, is not advancing because people are under the impression that these sanctions can be fixed. But right. If they cannot, then there is no reason for Iran to not engage in peaceful nuclear activities. So going back to what Iran had before would be an objective. The only reason Iran would refrain from that is actually getting sanctions lifted. So the the idea is Europe has a very short time limit. They are talking right. about presenting, getting a package from Europe. And the, if the package is too light, if the package is not serious, if the package does not address some of these difficulties that we have, then the Iran has no other choice but to follow the United States in terms of exiting exiting the nuclear agreement. So what the U.S. did was wrong, but what Iran is doing is responding to that wrong and preserving its national security interests, which is right for Iran.
Okay, so Mr. Morris, you know, one can argue that this is a huge test for Europe at this point, how it acts in the coming days, if it does act even to preserve this nuclear deal as Iran would expect it to. Because, you know, Iran's stance is very clear, Mr. Morris. It says that you cannot have sanctions and the JCPOA coexisting. Both cannot coexist at the same time. Sanctions were promised to be lifted, but we know the United States is now reenacting at least its sanctions on the Islamic Republic in a phased out manner. Do you think, Mr. Morris, that Europe is willing to stand up to the United States and to prove itself as a party to this deal?
Well, in the terms that your speaker from Tehran suggested, yes, I think Europe is able and willing and must come forward. But some of these things take time. A new swift process, I mean, it takes time to develop this. And I'm sure, well, I hope that Europe will do something about this and do something really constructive. But you're asking for immediate action. I think it's hard to achieve some of these things overnight. The other thing is Iran has a civil nuclear program, and the fact that it enriches uranium to 3.5, 3.7% rather than 20% doesn't make things impossible for Iran. I mean, you only need 20% enrichment for research purposes, but by and large, the enrichment levels you have under the JCPOA are okay. So there is no need to slap Europe in the face by tearing up the JCPOA. It doesn't stop Iran's civil nuclear program. And it is just such a shame when you have a position of power, you have Europe bent over a barrel, Europe will be struggling and struggling and struggling until it gets something decent that meets the aspirations of Iran, and if you rip up the whole program, the JCPOA program, and throw it in the trash bin, then you lose, Iran loses its enormous position of advantage and strength. So I really think that it is much better. And for goodness sake, Iran is the honorable party. It is the strong party. Iran has been abused by America, not the other way around. So maintain your position of strength is what I say.
Professor Izzetli, what do you make of that? Do you think that Iran is being too impatient?
No, it's been more than a month since President Trump got out of the agreement. And as I said, I think Iranian diplomats are intelligent enough and patient enough to realize whether there is movement towards the right direction or not. And from what they are seeing is that maybe there are good intentions, but actions are falling far shorter than what they should be at this stage, you know, more than a month after President Trump is out. And Iran is not really going to throw the nuclear agreement in trash. The U.S. got out. The agreement is basically gone because the most sanctions that Iran was facing was from the United States. And if the U.S. wants to bring all those sanctions, then there is no agreement. Iran will go back to its peaceful nuclear program. And whenever Europe is ready with a serious package, Iran can come back. So these are we are not looking at black and white situations. We are not looking at zero, one situations. We are talking about an agreement. Either you are in the agreement or you are not. If you are, if the other party is not in the agreement, Iran will get out. And maybe in the midterm elections in the United States, the Democrats will take over the U.S. Congress, and maybe they enact legislations that can address some of the damage that President Trump has done to the agreement. So whenever the other side decides to come back to the agreement is there. It's not going to go away. Then Iran will go back to the agreement. But for the meantime, if there is not much movement, we have a good number of nuclear scientists that are not doing much because of the agreement. We have good nuclear engineering students that are not engaging a lot of activities that they should engage in. Iran's nuclear program is peaceful. Iran needs to make sure that that peaceful program continues. And U.S. getting out will give that nuclear program a chance to revive itself. And Iran can wait and see whether the other side is ready to come back to the agreement. If they did, Iran will follow with that action.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there at that, gentlemen, because we are running out. We have run out of time, but of course, we do appreciate both your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was Professor at the University of Tehran, Fouad Izzedi, who is joining us live right here in our studios in the Iranian capital. And we were also joined by the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, Mr. William Morris, who had been speaking to us live from London. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.